Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. So I want you to imagine just for a moment that you're summoned into the highest courtroom in existence. Not a court in Edinburgh or London, not even the Hague or the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court of Heaven. The summons has arrived. You cannot delay. You cannot refuse. You cannot appeal to a higher court, because this is the final court of eternity. The judge is already seated. And let me tell you, it's not a man in a wig or a robe, but the Ancient of Days, whose throne blazes with fire, as we see in Daniel chapter 7. The books are opened. Every deed, every word, every thought is recorded. Nothing is hidden. In this moment, all the masks come off. All the excuses fall away. And the question for all of us is this morning, how will you stand in heaven's courtroom? And the first voice that we hear is not our own voice, it is the voice of the prosecutor. And scripture identifies the prosecutor clearly. We read in Revelation chapter 12 verse 10, it says there, he is the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night. This is Satan, the enemy of our souls. And in this heavenly trial, he does not waste time trying to inventing lies. He doesn't need to. He just simply reads the evidence. And I want to introduce you this morning to our chief prosecutor, Mr. Michael McIntosh, who will bring... I would hold your applause. Mr. Michael McIntosh, who is going to bring all the charges that are labelled against us this morning, and I don't think you're going to be clapping when he's finished.
Charge one, sin, falling short of God's glory. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Charge is universal. None of you measure up to God's perfect standard. Every thought, word, and deed contrary to his law stands as evidence against you. Charge two, law-breaking. James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Even if you manage to keep 99% of God's law, the 1% you broke convicts you. God's holiness requires absolute perfection. Charge three, rebellion against God's authority. Isaiah 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Sin isn't just mistakes that you make, it's willful rebellion, choosing your way over God's way. I've got more. Charge four, ungodliness and unrighteousness. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. I'll present every ungodly thought, every unrighteous action, every secret sin you've ever thought or done. Nothing's going to be hidden in this courtroom. And charge five, spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. Sin doesn't just make you guilty, it makes you spiritually dead, unable to defend yourselves before the judge. And I would submit to the court today that you, all of you, are guilty as charged. So there.
You're not clapping them now. Just let me remind you that Mickey's just playing a part today. He is not really the Antichrist. You don't have to go home and put on social media that the Found Church's new family worker's husband is the Antichrist. He is just playing a part today. He assures me that when he does that in court, he's actually the good guy. Today he was just playing the bad guy. But can you imagine standing in that dock and the weight of the truth crushes against you? Romans 3:19 says, every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Let me tell you, there's no excuses left. We cannot say, but God, I tried my best. Best is not perfection. We cannot say, but God, I wasn't as bad as the other people's. Let me tell you, God does not grade on a curve. We cannot say, but God, I went to church, I gave to charity, I helped people. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags in his sight. We are all guilty as charged. This is the crushing reality of sin. We stand condemned before a holy God. And Romans 6:3-23 tells us the verdict. It says there, the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Let me tell you, the gavel should already be fallen. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's not just what we do, it's our nature. Left to ourselves, we are separated from God and nothing we can do can fix that. And let me tell you, this is not popular preaching, but it's true. Before grace, we stand guilty before a holy God. The judge is righteous. The evidence is stacked against you and deep down, you know that you deserve judgment. See, if we don't understand the problem, then we'll never ever appreciate the solution. But don't worry. Today you're not here to be condemned. You're here today to be set free. And we're continuing our series, Grace Uncovered, and the title of today's message is Justifying Grace, Made Right by the Power of the Cross. So let me give you the big idea straight away. Grace doesn't just forgive our sin, it actually makes us right with God. And that's not just feel-good preaching. That solid biblical truth. Grace doesn't merely say, it's all right, just try again. Grace says, you're not guilty, case closed, you can walk free. This is much more than theology. It's a transformational reality that will set you free from guilt, shame and striving, and it will set you free from religious performance. Let me ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? Like, I know we've taken you down there and we all feel really guilty and we feel really bad, but I promise you we're going to take you back up here. So the first place I want to take us is the courtroom where grace changes the verdict. So let's just stay in that courtroom for a minute with Mikey as the Antichrist speaking judgment over us. The atmosphere is heavy. The judge, the holy righteous God, he sits on his throne, robed in the majesty, unshakable in his justice. You are the one on trial, standing at the defendant's table. The charges have been read out and they're painfully accurate. Every thoughtless word, every selfish act, every hidden sin you hope that no one would ever know about is laid bare in the open. Nothing is missed, nothing is overlooked. And the accuser, the devil himself, is there gleefully pointing to the evidence. Pointing. And he's got a long list. And he reads it out with cruel delight. Lies, pride, jealousy, lust, bitterness, anger, gossip, greed, selfishness, broken promises. The record goes on and on and on. And the worst part is, you know it's true. You know you can't deny it. You can't even argue your way out of it. You can't make excuses. You can't claim ignorance. And the courtroom falls silent. And all you can do is bow your head. The weight of guilt presses down and the penalty is clear. Eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death. The sentence is final. The verdict should be guilty. But then Jesus steps forward. He doesn't come in timidly or he doesn't enter the room with arrogance. He comes with authority, he comes with compassion, and he comes with love. And he stands between you and the judge, placing himself in your place. He looks at the Father and he says, I'll take their place, I'll serve their sentence, I'll bear their punishment. And he points to the scars on his hands and his side, the eternal marks of the price that he's already paid on the cross. And he says, Father, I know that that law must be fulfilled. I know that justice demands payment, but I've already satisfied it. I've carried their sin to the cross. I have shed my blood for them. The debt is paid in full. The accuser, who stood up here so confidently reading out those five charges, suddenly falls silent. His case collapses because the evidence, though real, has already been dealt with. The punishment, though deserved, has already been borne. Justice, though required, has already been satisfied. And in that holy moment, the judge, God Almighty, lifts his gavel. And the sound echoes through eternity as he declares, not guilty. He declares, not guilty. The chains fall off, the weight lifts. That is justifying grace. I want to tell you, it's not a loophole in the law. It's not God turning a blind eye to sin. It's justice fully met in Jesus and mercy fully poured out on you. Let me tell you, grace doesn't excuse sin. Grace pays for it. Grace doesn't deny guilt. It actually removes it. Grace doesn't lower the standard. It satisfies it completely in Jesus. See, in the courtroom of heaven, the verdict is forever changed. You walk out free, forgiven, justified, and declared righteous. Not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. That is the power of justifying grace. But the question is, though, what is justification? So let's get theological just for a little moment. See, sometimes in church we throw around these big words like justification and we just assume that everybody understands what they mean. And let me tell you, I'm quite a simple person. So I like it to be nice and simple for me. See, because if we're going to grasp the richness of God's grace, we need to understand what this word means clearly. And the word justifies means to be declared righteous, to be made right. And notice that it's not simply about being forgiven. Forgiveness is amazing, it's wonderful. It's much more than just simply being let off the hook. To be justified in the courtroom of heaven means that God doesn't just cancel your record of sin, he actually declares you to be in right standing before him. Think about it. Forgiveness says you may go, you're free from your penalty. But justification says you're free from your penalty, you might go, but it also says you may come, you are welcome in my presence, accepted as if you had never ever sinned before. That's justification. It's not simply that God looks the other way or pretends that our sins didn't happen. No, justification is a legal declaration. It's rooted in fact, not in feelings. That's why theologians often point out that justification is a legal term, not an emotional one. See, in a court of law, when a judge declares a person guilty, that statement changes their legal status, regardless of how the accused feels in that moment. In the same way, when God justifies us through Jesus, our position before him is permanently altered forever. So what does justification mean in practical terms? It means that your record is wiped clean. Every sin, every failure, every shortcoming is no longer counted against you. Remember last week, if you're here last week, and I said, imagine standing here and everything you ever done before that you're embarrassed of or ashamed of appears up there. But when you stand in that courtroom of heaven and you're justified, you stand there and it's completely blank. Completely blank. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. You're accepted before God, no longer an enemy, no longer estranged. You are welcomed as his child. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer under condemnation. Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But on the flip side, here's what justification doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you suddenly become perfect, that in every thought, word, and deed, that suddenly you're a perfect person. It doesn't mean that. And we all know that even after we come to Jesus, we all stumble and we all get it wrong. Don't we? Yes. All of us. But what it does mean is that your status has changed. You're no longer identified by your sin. You are identified by Jesus' righteousness. Because you know what happens? The enemy loves to get in and tell us, like, whatever, you're still a liar. That's you. Your identity is a liar. Your identity is a thief. Your identity is an addict. That's what the enemy tells us. But God, on the other hand, says, no. You're identified by Jesus' righteousness. You're my son. You're my daughter. And the best part, justification is not about how you feel on any given day. You might wake up tomorrow still wrestling with guilt or shame, but the truth of justification doesn't rest on your emotions. It rests upon the finished work of Jesus. If God has declared you righteous, let me tell you, then righteous is who you are. It's not a vague hope that maybe one day God might accept you. It's a settled fact in the courts of heaven. If you are in Christ, the judge of all creation has already ruled in your favour. That is justification. But how do we receive justifying grace? Well, I think this is the best part of the whole message. It's not earned. It's not achieved. It's simply received. That's why the gospel is called good news. Let me tell you, religion will always tell us, do more, try harder, climb higher. You're never going to match up. You're never going to make the standard. That's what religion tells us over and over and over again. But the gospel says, it is finished. Romans 5:1 says, and it makes it really crystal clear here in this verse in Romans. It says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the key word is right in that verse, faith. Faith. Not works, not performance, not good intentions, not somehow trying to keep all the rules and failing. Just faith in Jesus. Just faith in Jesus, and we can receive that justifying grace in our life. Let me tell you, we are not justified by, for example, church attendance, though that is important. We're not justified by charitable giving. That is a good thing, but we're not justified by that. We're not justified by reading our Bible in a whole year. Well, that is a really good thing to do, and I would encourage you to do that. But that doesn't mean you're justified before God. Trying harder to be a better person will not get you to be justified before God. All of these things are good, and we should be doing all of these things. But none of them can remove sin from our lives, and none of them can make us right before God. The Bible is clear. We are justified by faith in the finished work of the cross. And then Paul drives this point home again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, justification is not a payment for a job well done. It's a gift. If you worked for it, you could boast about it. If you earned it, you could take the credit for it. But God designed salvation in such a way that there's no room for pride, no space for human achievement, no chance of us saying, hey, look what I did. Instead, we bring absolutely nothing to the table but our sin and our trust in Jesus. And in exchange, we receive everything. We receive forgiveness. We receive acceptance. We receive peace. We receive a new identity, as Elizabeth mentioned in communion. We receive eternal life. When we bring nothing to the table, that's what we get in return. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. That's grace. That's justification. That's why it's called the greatest gift that you'll ever receive in your life. So let's zoom in a little bit on the cross just for a moment. Why? Because it's not just a religious symbol or a nice piece of jewelry that we can wear. The cross is the very centre of our justification. And here's the truth. Jesus didn't just die for us. He died instead of us. That's what theologians call substitution, because he literally took our place. Imagine a substitute of football. One person goes off, the next person comes on, takes their place. Jesus has taken our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see the exchange taking place? At the cross, our guilt was transferred to Jesus. He bore the punishment, the shame, the wrath that we deserved. His righteousness then was transferred to us. We are clothed in his purity, holiness, and perfection. And let me tell you, that is not just good news. That is the greatest exchange in human history. That's why the cross matters so much. If Jesus hadn't died, there would be no justification. If Jesus hadn't risen again, there would be no hope. But because he did, the verdict has changed. And I love it. Romans 8 verse 1 absolutely shouts and screams the good news. It says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. None. Not a trace. Not a leftover. Not a shadow. You can approach that day fully confident. Why? Because Jesus bore it all. So how do you receive justifying grace? Simply by faith. By trusting not in ourselves, but in Jesus alone. It's not about what you can achieve, but what about Jesus has already accomplished for you. And that means the best part, the pressure is totally off. You don't have to climb the ladder to heaven. Jesus already came down to you. You don't have to clean yourself up before you come. Jesus makes you clean by his blood that he shed on the cross. But too often I meet people and they keep telling me, oh, I could never come to church, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. How often do we hear this phrase? If I walk in the doors of the church, the roof will fall off. Like, and I'm thinking, if that was going to happen, it would have fell off when I walked in the door. Like, and it's still there. Like, with all this pressure, as if we have to clean ourselves up somehow before we can come to church. You don't have to earn God's love. He has already given it fully and freely at the cross. All that's left is for you and I to believe, to put your faith in him, to say, Lord, I can't save myself, but I trust in what you have done for me. See, when you do, heaven's gavel comes down. The verdict is announced. The record is cleared. The status has changed. You are justified, not guilty, forgiven, fully accepted, forever righteous in Christ. That is why the cross matters so much. That's why justification changes everything. That is why grace is truly amazing. So what happens when you're justified? Well, you go from legal guilt to legal freedom. And let me tell you, this is much more than a dusty doctrine on a shelf, a theological shelf somewhere. Justification is the beating heart of the gospel. And when you grasp this, it absolutely changes everything. It shifts your identity, it shifts your relationship with God, it shifts your outlook on life, and it shifts your hope for the future. And here's that shift in real simple terms. You go from enemy to friend. You go from condemned to accepted. From distant from God to close to God. That is the shift that happens in our life. Paul says in Romans 5 verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Did you catch that Paul had written there? We stand in grace. We don't crawl. We don't beg for it. We don't sneak in like we don't belong somehow. No, you just stand. You just stand. That's the confidence of justification in our lives. When you're justified, you don't live like someone waiting outside the courtroom door hoping the judge will let you in for a quick word. Have you ever drove past the court in Camlin and saw the people outside looking really nervous, waiting to go in? Quite often they're chain smoking away there because they're so nervous or so worried. That's just Mikey. But actually, when you approach heaven's courtroom, because you've been justified, you can stand there fully confident, waiting for your turn to go in. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Because you live like someone who's already welcomed home. You don't knock at the door nervously anymore, you just sit down at the family table. That's the wonder of justifying grace. It doesn't change your legal status in heaven. Let me tell you, justifying grace changes how you live on earth every single day. Let me give you a few examples. Because you've received justifying grace, then you can stop trying to earn God's love in your life. See, one of the greatest misunderstandings, I think, as Christians, we often try and live under this idea that God's love is somehow conditional towards us, and that it rises and falls depending on how well we are performing spiritually on any given day. It's as if we imagine God is sitting in heaven with his clipboard, checking off boxes every time we read our Bible, every time we attend church, every time we pray long enough, or every time we resist temptation. It's almost like God's given us another little tick. And then we start to think, if we tick enough boxes, then we imagine God's smile grows wider. And if we miss too many boxes on a particular day, that his approval will fade. But let me tell you, justification smashes that idea to pieces. To be justified means you're fully accepted by God. Not partially, not just temporary, not just, oh, we'll see how you do over the next few days and weeks and months. You're not on probation. That is not an option in the courtroom. You're not on probation. You're not in a trial period where heaven is testing you to see if you can somehow match up to it and you're worth keeping. Your status before God is secure. Why? Because it rests on Jesus' finished work, not on your ongoing performance. Aren't you glad about Jesus' finished work on the cross? See, in the workplace, loads of places, employees live with that constant pressure of performance reviews. Kirsty loves it when it's her turn for her performance review. Like every month she comes in there and she's like, Stephen, have I done something wrong? Have I been... I'm thinking, no! And a boss might look at your track record and decide if you're worthy of a promotion or if you're even in danger of being let go. And some Christians live with that same anxiety in their relationship with God, constantly feeling like they're about to be fired from his family. But let me tell you, you're not a spiritual employee. You're not working for wages. You are a beloved child of God. And Paul makes this truth unmistakably clear in Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you catch that? God didn't wait until you were cleaned up, polished up and impressive. He didn't wait until you had proven your worth. He loved you at your very worst. At your lowest point, Jesus gave his life for you. So if he loved you then, what makes you think that somehow his love now depends on how well you perform day by day? God's love is not like a roller coaster. It doesn't rise and fall with your mood, your mistakes, or your victories. His love is rooted in his nature and secured by the cross. That means you can stop striving. You can stop exhausting yourself trying to earn what is already freely yours. Secondly, you don't have to carry guilt and shame around with you day by day. This is another life-changing reality of justification. You are not defined by your past. See, for many people, forgiveness is something they accept. They accept it intellectually in their mind, but they struggle to embrace it emotionally. They believe that the doctrine of justification, sorry, they believe in the doctrine of justification, but they still carry around the weight of guilt from sins that are long forgiven in the past. They start to replay the failure in their mind over and over again, almost like a movie on repeat. They rehearse the shame as if it's still their identity. They keep punishing themselves for mistakes that God has already nailed to the cross. But let me tell you, justification always declares a better word. If God has slammed the gavel and pronounced not guilty, then what makes you think you have a right to contradict him? If heaven's highest court has cleared your record, who are you to keep bringing the charges back up? And Paul puts it powerfully in Romans 8:33. He says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Do you hear the finality in Paul's words there? The case is closed. The accuser has no ground. Condemnation has no power in your life. Yes, you made mistakes. Haven't we all? Yes, you have regrets. Haven't we all? But in Jesus, those failures are no longer part of your legal record before God. Let me tell you, they've been blotted out. Covered by the blood of Jesus, remembered no more. Let me put it this way. If you've been justified, your spiritual file has been shredded. The accusations no longer exist in heaven's archives. You don't need to carry what God has already cancelled. So can I encourage you today, stop rehearsing the old guilt. Stop living under the old labels. As I said earlier, the enemy still loves to whisper, you're still that liar, you're still that failure, you're still that addict, you're still that hypocrite. But let me tell you, justification gives you the right to reply. I said shut it a few weeks ago. You can say that if you want. But you could just say, no, I've been declared righteous. My record is clean. My identity is in Christ, not in my past. That's the freedom of grace. Let's take it one step further. You can walk in confidence. Justification doesn't just remove the guilt and shame. It gives you the confidence. Let me tell you, not arrogance, but gospel confidence. To be justified means that you're right with God. And that truth alone should change how you approach life. You don't have to pray timidly. You don't have to worship cautiously or serve hesitantly. You can pray boldly, you can worship freely, and you can serve joyfully. Why? Because you're standing before God as secure. Think about how many people live their Christian lives tiptoeing around God as if he's perpetually disappointed and just waiting to scold them and give them a row. Is that you? Maybe you're too afraid to pray boldly. Maybe you're too afraid to sing too loudly in case somehow that starts to bother God. But let me tell you, justification says otherwise. You are his child and he delights in you. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this confidence doesn't come from our feelings. See, feelings change daily, even hourly. Some mornings you might feel on top of the world spiritually. Other mornings you might feel weak, distant or unworthy. But justification is not grounded in those feelings. It is grounded in the fact, the finished work of Christ on the cross. That's where it is founded. So when you walk into a room, remember you walk in as someone who's been declared righteous by God himself. When you face trials, you do so as someone already accepted in heaven's highest courtroom. When you battle temptation, you fight not to earn victory, but because victory has already been secured for you. That's why justification is so powerful. It gives you the courage to live boldly, to face challenges with faith, and to walk through life with your head lifted high. I don't care about your past. If you've been justified by God, you can walk into any room with your head lifted high. Justification transforms everything. You can stop trying to earn God's love because you already have it. You can stop carrying guilt and shame. Why? Because your record is clean. You can start walking in confidence because you are clothed in Christ's righteousness. So stop striving. Stop dragging chains that have already been broken. Stop shrinking back as if you don't belong. You are justified. You are free. You are loved today. Let me say it this way. Justification takes you out of the courtroom and it seats you right at the family table. It moves you from standing guilty before a judge to standing accepted before a father. It silences the voice of condemnation and amplifies the voice of grace in your life. See, when you truly grasp that, it doesn't make you careless, it makes you worshipful. It doesn't make you want to sin more, it makes you want to love him more. Justifying grace doesn't just change your legal standing, it changes your daily living. So cry and courage the church. Lift your head, lift your voice, lift your heart in gratitude to him today. Why? Because the gavel has come down, the verdict is final, and the word spoken over your life is this: not guilty, righteous, beloved. That's the power of justification. But the question is, the natural question always is, but what about when I mess up? What about when I mess up? This is a question everybody eventually asks. If I'm justified already, what happens when I sin? Well, here's your answer. Your standing with God doesn't change, but your fellowship with God can be affected. Think of it this way. Justification is a one-time legal declaration. The verdict has been passed. You're no longer under condemnation. You don't get unjustified every time you fail. But that doesn't mean that sin does not matter. Paul addresses this in Romans 6. He says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? See, we don't take grace as a license to sin and live recklessly. We live holy lives. Why? Because grace has transformed us. When we fall short, though, let me tell you, when we fall short, we don't go back to the courtroom. We don't go back before Mikey again for him to accuse us all over again. Sorry, Mikey. Why? Because the case has already been closed. Instead, we don't go to the courtroom, we go straight to our Father, go straight to God. We confess, we repent, and we receive his mercy in our lives. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 gives us this assurance. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Notice that. He is faithful and he is just. Forgiven. When God forgives you, it's not just God being soft. It's God being consistent with the work of Jesus. The price has already been paid. So let's revisit that courtroom for one last time. The judge has heard the evidence. The charges are undeniable. The sentence is death. But Jesus stands up, he stretches out his nail-scarred hands, and he says, I'll pay the price. My blood is enough. The judge accepts it. The gavel comes down. Not guilty. But that's not all. It gets better. Why? Because the judge takes off his robe, steps down from the bench, and he embraces you. He doesn't just dismiss the case, he adopts you. He doesn't just cancel the debt, he gives you an inheritance. He doesn't just set you free, he brings you home. Your new status is much more than just innocent. It's adopted, it's beloved, it's empowered, it's free. That's your story, that's your standing, that's your grace. So what do we do with this truth? Let me tell you, justification isn't just something to study, it's something to live by. So let me give you four applications really quickly. Firstly, you can live by this justifying grace by rejecting condemnation. Stop letting the enemy drag you back into the courtroom. The case is closed. See, when guilt creeps into your mind, remind yourself, I've been justified by faith. The verdict is final, not guilty. Secondly, you can stand in grace. Romans 5 verse 2 says, we stand in grace. That means we don't shrink back, we don't live timid, we don't, any of that stuff, but we can stand tall as a child of God. We can pray with confidence. We can serve with boldness. We can love with freedom. Thirdly, we need to then extend that grace to other people. Justified people become just people. See, if God no longer holds your past against you, why should you hold someone else's past against them? This is tough. This is hard. But if you've received grace, you're called to give grace. And then fourthly, can I encourage you to worship like you're free? Like, don't worship like you're still on trial. Like, worship like the chains have been fallen, or are totally fallen off. Like, you can see it, people, like, they come in there thinking, well, I can maybe just put my hand up, like, I would be like, or I put maybe like this, or I'll, Forget that. Just get up there and just worship because you're free. You don't have to worry about the person next to you. Who cares about them? Like, this is between you and Jesus. It's almost like we're still on trial. Like, am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to? What will God think if I put my hands up? What will God think if I shout out loud? What will God think? You're not on trial anymore. So can I encourage you? Lift your head, lift your voice, give him the praise that he deserves. Sing like someone who knows the case is closed, the verdict is final, and the freedom is real. The band can come now as we wrap this up. I hope you're catching this today. I hope you're catching what justifying grace means in your life. So two things I want to do this morning. If you're here this morning, today, and you've never ever received justifying grace, if you're still carrying guilt, you're still trying to earn God's love, let me tell you, today is your day. Today is your day. You don't need to somehow try and impress God. You don't need to fix yourself. You don't need to tick off a list of religious boxes. Do you know what you need to do? You just need to trust Jesus. That is it. You just need to trust Jesus. Romans 10 verse 9 makes it plain. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be what? You will be saved. And you will receive that justifying grace in your life. That's it. Not a lifetime of trying. Not years of striving. Not thinking I'll come back next week when I've tried a little harder. Not any of that stuff. Just faith in Jesus. Hear the kids? That's how we should be worshipping. If you're far from God, can I encourage you to come home? If you're trapped in shame, can I encourage you to step into freedom? If you're tired of trying, can I encourage you just to receive his grace? The gavel has already come down. The verdict has already been spoken. And in Christ, the word over your life is not guilty. It's justified. So what we want to do this morning, if you have never ever accepted Jesus in your life, if you have been striving and you have been thinking, man, I need to clean my life up, I need to do this, I need to do that, I want to tell you this morning that God wants to meet you right where you are. Jesus has already taken your place. It's already been done. Romans 3 verse 23 says, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you don't need to clean yourself up. Just come. Come as you are. Come with your faults, your failings, your mess, and just give it to him. And you'll see that beautiful exchange happening. As you give him all that stuff, and Jesus takes the penalty and the punishment and the pain that we deserved and the death that we deserved, and he just gives you life in return. That's the offer. If you've never ever received that today, with every single head bowed in this room, every eye closed, nobody's watching apart from me, and more importantly, Jesus, I just want to see so that I can pray for you. Is there anybody here that says, Stephen, I've never ever given my life to Jesus. I've never ever received that justifying grace into my life. If that's you today, can I just encourage you to pop your hand up? I'll see you. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Is there anybody in this room today that says, Stephen, pray for me today? If you're watching online, you can scan that QR code that will be up on the screen. Let us know. We'll be in touch. Okay. Here's what I want to do now. I know there'll be people in this room, people watching online, who are not living their life like they've been justified. They're walking in shame. They're still letting the past pull them back. They're still believing the lies of the enemy whispering in them that you're still that person, you're still that person, you're still doing those things, that somehow you don't measure up to the standard. Let me tell you, God's already sent us today. You don't need to measure up. You can walk in victory. You can walk in freedom. You can worship like you're free with your head held high. And I want to pray for you today. If that's you, I want to pray that those chains that are holding you back will be smashed completely. That will be broken off so that you can live the life that Jesus has meant for you. John 10:10 says, I have come, this is Jesus speaking, I have come so that you may have life and life in all its fullness. And if you're not experiencing that life today, you're still struggling with your past, you're still struggling with all the things that the enemy wants to keep you stuck there, today can be your day. Today can be the day.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.